Stephen's story, entitled Green and Clean, has amused and deeply influenced people the world over. Because of its specific applications to the concept of setting up win-win or stewardship agreements, that story, as delivered before a live audience, is included here as Stephen continues his discussion of win-win.
You know my green and clean story. My little son agreed in a family meeting to take care of the yard. Son, your job is green and clean. It has nothing to do with watering. That's a method. Let me show you what green looks like, son. Let's go over to our neighbor's house. That's the color we're after, son. Compare that with our yard, which I've been taking care of. Clean means let's clean up half of it. Now notice that compared to that. That's green and clean, son. 2 weeks to train this little kid in green and clean. Now, son, how you do that is up to you. I'd tell you how I do it if you want. How would you do it, Dad? I'd turn on the sprinklers. But you may want to use buckets or hose or spit all day long. All we care about is what, son? Green and clean. What's green look like? Good. What's clean? Good. It's your job, son. Guess who your boss is, son? Who? You boss yourself. Guess who your helper is? Who? I am. You boss me. I do? Many times I'm away. Many times I'm very busy with other things. But if I ever have any time you need help, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And guess who judges you, son? That's right. You judge yourself. How do you think you judge yourself, son? Green and clean. What's green now? What's clean now? Good. Is that a deal, son? You think about it for a day or two. Saturday. How do you feel, son? I'll do it. Do what? Green and clean. How? That's up to me. Who's your boss? I boss myself. Who judges you? I judge myself. How do you judge yourself? Green and clean. What's green? Good. Clean? Good. Who's your helper? You are if you have time. What if I don't have time? I got to do green and clean. Is that a deal, son? Deal was made. You did nothing. Two weeks of training. Nothing all that Saturday. All that Sunday. Monday. It's Tuesday morning. Going to work. Hot. Summer day. Burning up. Yellowing. Neighbor's yard. Green and clean. Manicured. Garbage strewn right down the side lawn from a Saturday night barbecue. Falling out the bottom of the sack, 3 feet from my car. I could rationalize a little away Saturday and Sunday, but Monday, this is inexcusable. I was ready to move to win-lose. Now, son, you get out there, you get over here, or I'm telling, but the moment you do, you kill the goose. You kill effectiveness. You go for efficiency. Yeah, he'll clean that up. And what happens tomorrow when you're not there? Bite your tongue. Reaffirm your purpose. Raise boys, not grass. I'll see what it looks like tonight. Could hardly wait to get home. Driving. Going around the corner, there where my yard was. Tuesday afternoon, more cluttered, more yellow than ever. My son across the street, playing ball in the park. I was burning. We'd agree that we'd walk around the yard twice a week, and he'd show me how it's going. Hi, son. How you doing? I was faking it totally. Just fine, Dad. How's it going in the yard, son? Just fine, Dad. That was his accountability. Why? I violated our agreement. I knew that. That's not what we agreed to do. I bit my tongue. After dinner, why don't we walk around? You can show me how it's going. Before we got to the door, you could see his lip. By the time we got out to the front yard, just open bawling. Ma, it's so hard. I mean, what was hard? He hadn't done one single thing. I'll tell you what hard is moving up the level of initiative. If you nag people enough, work is the course of least resistance. You cannot hold people responsible for results if you supervise their methods. Anything you want me to do to help, son? Would you? What was our agreement? You said you'd help if you have time. I've got time. Just a minute, Dad ran in the house, came out with two sacks. He handed me one, he took one.
It makes me vomit.
You pick that up, you know. Just took that wet garbage, stuffed it in the sack, you know. That's when he signed the win-win performance agreement. And he only asked for help a couple more times that entire summer. It was his job. It takes time to set up the agreement and to reaffirm it. The tendency is to backslide on it when you see mistakes. Keep believing in the people, holding them accountable in the way agreed.
A win-win or stewardship agreement is an effective tool to clarify and manage expectations. It also creates a standard against which we can measure our own success. Stephen next outlines five essential elements of a win-win or stewardship agreement.
I'll never forget that entire summer how pleased I was to see a greener, cleaner yard than it was ever under my stewardship. I mean, he really owned the place. Ownership, it's mine. His pride was tied to it. And the effect of that kind of experience in growth and responsibility has been magnified and manifested a thousandfold over the years. But notice the basic five elements that made up the stewardship agreement. This is all part of training, of communicating, of having a vision about what the work is and establishing the stewardship. Now listen to these five elements. The first is a clear description of desired results. If possible, a visual picture of those desired results. This takes time. You've got to spend time. It took me 2 weeks. Green and clean. So you can see those. But most of us are in such a rush, we just try to set up some deal real fast, and then nothing really happens. You've got to spend time. You've got to be patient. You've got to get visual and deep understanding. Oftentimes, you can get them to make out their own quality statements of what the results will look like. Have them see it, to spend time with it. Don't push it. Don't rush it. Don't delegate when you're angry. In fact, don't even try to teach when you're angry. You've got to get a good relationship, a good emotional bank account, then set up the deal when there's such a good emotional sense of well-being and a good quality relationship. Second, teach people the guidelines, including the no-nos. A no-no is something you shouldn't do. I didn't do this in the story with my son, but I could have. I could have said, son, don't paint it. That's a no-no. It's not allowed. But you see, it would give the color green. In other words, anytime you have given someone a job and you know the failure paths, identify them. If you'll know that they'll get in trouble if they do this or that, tell them. Be open and honest about it. Don't hide it. It's a failure path. There's quicksand there. There's wild animals there. In other words, you don't have to have everyone reinvent the wheel every day to learn the hard way. The best way to learn is to learn from other people's mistakes, from their failure paths. But then on the other hand, you don't want to tell them what to do. You'll give them guidelines, legal, ethical, moral requirements, but don't tell them what methods to do. In the early stages, you might do a little, but gradually you want to move away from this so that they begin to take more and more responsibility toward results. So in other words, you tell them what not to do, but not what to do. You only give them guidelines, including the no-nos. It leaves every other option available and open to them and taps into their resourcefulness, their ingenuity, their creative energy to do whatever it takes within those guidelines to accomplish the desired results. Third, now identify the resources. In the story I just gave, I said, call on me, son. But in many situations, you may have other human resources or financial resources, budgetary resources, and so forth that you can call upon. Fourth, now identify how accountability is to be done. set up an accountability agreement focused around the desired results. In other words, we agreed to walk around the yard twice a week and he would judge himself. Now the ball's at his toe. He's responsible. He needs to take the initiative. When you do this, people will be accountable against the criteria built into the upfront agreement of desired results. Finally, identify the consequences of what's going to happen, good or bad, based upon that accountability of how well the desired results were achieved. Now, with my son, the only consequence was intrinsic, that is, in the quality of the thing done or the activity itself. But I wouldn't have hesitated to attach an allowance to it, which would be an extrinsic or social consequence. At that time in his life, he didn't seem to need an allowance. He wasn't concerned about it. But perhaps at another time, I wouldn't have hesitated to say, you judge yourself, but if the job is worth $2 a week and you do a superb job, then give yourself $3. Or not as well, maybe only a dollar. You judge yourself. Really, my experience has been, if the relationship is good, people will be twice as tough on themselves as you would ever dare be. Why? You trusted them. They don't want to violate that trust. So to summarize the essence of Habit 4, think win-win, it basically means that you try to cultivate, in your own nature and character, an abundant spirit. And then in the relationship with another person, you're always pursuing mutual benefit so that both parties win. And then you try to create an environment surrounding that which nurtures the keeping of that relationship on a win-win basis. Win-win is a paradigm. It is a way of thinking about all relationships. Sometimes you may need to go for no deal, but realize in the long run, anything but win-win will ultimately result in lose-lose.